One of the great things about baptism is that it gives you more courage. Baptism gives you permission to reject some of the demands and expectations that other people might have for you. You might not see baptism in that light right now, but over the next month, we'll be exploring some of the connections between baptism and our bodies and gender roles, how we're supposed to behave as men and women. Now, maybe you've never thought much about these connections between baptism, our bodies, and the cultural expectations for women and men. We'll start exploring those connections today with a look at this story from the book of Acts about baptism. But in coming weeks, we'll be reading mostly from Paul's letter to the Corinthians. And those readings will raise all kinds of questions about the connections between faith and our bodies. Paul, those Corinthians asked, is it a big deal or not if a guy in our church is sleeping with his stepmother? Just help us out here, Paul. Give us a little guidance. One of their questions. Paul, is it that big of a deal that some of the men in the church are still going to the prostitutes on the weekends to have sex with them? I mean, is this something that should, you know, die out after we're part of the church? Or is this okay? Give us some help. Another one of their questions. Paul, if the body's desires are sort of dangerous, is it just best if we all stop having sex of any kind, anyone, even married people? And if that's the case, if we're married, should we get divorced so that we can devote our full attention to the Lord? Actually, one of their questions, okay? And Paul, what are we allowed to eat? Is it okay to keep going to these weekend religious festivals that honor the gods? Is it okay if we eat the meat that's been sacrificed by the priests at the temple? Okay, lots of interesting questions about food, bodies, sex, desire, men and women, okay? Now, the questions that we have in our culture, beginning of 2018, about our bodies, about food, diet, sex, singleness, marriage, and desire, our questions, of course, won't be the same as their questions, but we will have to reflect together on what it means for us, and this phrase comes from Corinthians, what it means for us to honor God with our bodies, okay? This week, we'll begin to raise some questions about gender roles, about cultural expectations for men and for women, and how baptism provides us with a much larger and much more interesting picture of who we are and how God has called us to use our strengths and our gifts. Now, between World War II and the end of the 1960s, there emerged a picture of the real man. The real man was a man with square shoulders and an unwavering love of country. He could throw a football, kill his dinner, and make love to a woman. Those who modeled this new manhood included Clint Eastwood in Westerns, Jim Brown on the football field, and Ronald Reagan in both movies and politics. And you could come up with other examples too. Now, by the early 21st century, this picture of the real American man was already outdated and almost dead when a television show called Parks and Recreation debuted and introduced an impressively mustached character named Ron Swanson, played by the actor Nick Offerman. Ron Swanson's character models the life of the real man. He models what it means to rough it. He builds things. He shoots things. He can't put up with any BS. He prefers to keep to himself in an era where everybody wants to tweet out their feelings or Instagram pictures of their dinner. Now, in case you haven't seen Ron Swanson's version of manliness on this show, it's a sitcom, Parks and Recreation, let me give you a little bit of Ron Swanson in his own words, okay? So when a nurse asks Ron if there's any history of mental illness in his family, he responds, "I have an uncle who does yoga." Ron Swanson on pets, quote, "Any dog under 50 pounds is a cat and cats are useless." Okay? Ron Swanson wrote his own will, just scrap on a piece of notebook paper when he was 8 years old, and this is how his will reads, quote, "Upon my death, all of my belongings shall transfer to the man or animal who has killed me." A little bit of a competitive view of life here. Ron Swanson on the importance of honesty. Quote, there's only one thing I hate more than lying, skim milk, which is water that's lying about being milk. Ron Swanson again on food. Dear frozen yogurt, you are the celery of desserts. Be ice cream or be nothing. Maybe you can identify. Ron Swanson refers to capitalism as, quote, God's way of determining who's smart and who's poor. Ron Swanson on friendship, quote, the less I know about other people's affairs, the happier I am. I'm not interested in caring about people. I once worked with a guy for 3 years and never learned his name. Best friend I ever had. We still never talk sometimes. Ron Swanson on being outdoors. Fishing relaxes me. It's like yoga, except I still get to kill something. And finally, Ron Swanson on having strong emotions. Quote, keep your tears in your eyes where they belong. Okay. Now, Ron Swanson is a caricature exaggerated for comic effect. You get the drift, okay? A real man is a carnivorous, competitive, uncaring, lonely human being who is deathly afraid of any strong emotions other than anger. So an interesting thought experiment for us might be, what would happen if Ron Swanson, the character Ron Swanson, were to receive baptism? You might be surprised that baptism has anything at all to do with some of the cultural challenges we face in terms of changing gender roles, changing expectations for men and women and how we get along. But baptism is a life-defining, life-shaping ritual. It's a ritual that carries with it a whole new story about the shape and the possibility of our lives, how we understand ourselves and how we engage with and relate to other people. So consider for a moment our reading from Acts today. Paul was traveling. He comes to Ephesus. He found some disciples. Paul asked them about the beginning of their faith. Did they receive the Holy Spirit when they became believers? No, they respond, we haven't even heard about this thing you're talking about, the Holy Spirit. Well, at least tell me this, Paul continues. Were you even baptized when you became believers? They say, well, yes, the 12 of them say. We were baptized with John's baptism. That is John the Baptist's baptism. Paul then goes on to point out to them that John's ministry, his whole prophetic role, was to point to the more powerful one coming after him, that is Jesus the Messiah. So apparently these disciples in Ephesus had a very partial, very elementary, very beginning version of the life of faith. And so Paul welcomes them to a fuller baptism, one done, quote, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Paul lays his hands on them, and the Holy Spirit comes upon them. They receive the Spirit, their capacities, their strengths are elevated and intensified. They begin to prophetically speak out the good news of God's love among us in Jesus Christ. So it's just like it happened in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. The same Spirit that hovers powerfully over the waters of creation from Genesis 1, that same Spirit hovers over the waters of our baptism, giving order and form to the beginning for us too of a new kind of life lived in a new way. Now, these disciples in Ephesus remind all of us that growth and depth and learning and maturity is always a process. That's what Stephanie was talking about with our young people. Growing in faith, hope, and love is a lifelong project. You don't get it right all at once. We come to faith in bits and pieces and fits and starts. We gather up whatever we can carry for now, and we leave the rest. We'll come back for it later when we have time. We absorb what we can. But right now, we have to set off. We're on a journey. We're headed out. And of course, we'll need more guidance down the road. There's an important healing story in Mark 8. It's one of my favorite stories in the Gospels. A blind man in a town called Bethsaida is brought to Jesus for healing. Jesus touches the man's eyes, then asks the man what he sees. Quote, I see people, but they look like trees walking around. That is, the guy could see a little bit, so that's good, right? He's made progress, but he can't see very well. Now, if you have poor vision like I do, you can easily imagine what this guy was seeing. You know, he could see shapes moving about, but not much else. It was all blurry. And so Jesus touches this guy's eyes a second time. This time, the man opened his eyes and could see everything clearly. Now, in the Gospels, it might appear to us that Jesus is always healing everyone instantaneously, right? That's how most of them happen. But this story in Mark 8 suggests that for most of us, we will experience God's healing as part of an extended process with different stages. There will be different depths and degrees and moments of healing through which we all move as we grow up and mature as people in our lives and grow up in our faith as well. Now, let me make a couple of brief comments about baptism as part of this multi-stage, multi-part healing process that's a lifelong project, okay? First, and this is so plain and simple, it's so obvious that it's easy for us to overlook. First thing, baptism is for bodies. Baptism is for bodies. If our bodies were not important, we wouldn't need a ritual and a symbol that involves water on our bodies. So whether you've been dunked under or poured upon or thrice sprinkled in baptism, the water comes into contact with the skin of your body, and that's important. Baptism marks our bodies as holy, as beautiful, as beloved. Baptism signals that our bodies are gifts from God and that God delights in their range of capabilities and in their array of powers. Here's the second thing, and here again, I apologize that this is so easy and so obvious. When we receive baptism, our anatomical features and our biological sex do not play any significant role. Put bluntly, we might say that you don't need a penis to receive baptism. Now, I love it when all of you engage with social media and post things about our worship services. I'm delighted that you do that. Today, I would just ask that you don't tweet that particular line from the sermon. It would be awkward, and I would have to explain it. But why put matters that blunt way? Well, because for communities like us gathered around Jesus Christ, the ritual of baptism replaces the ritual of circumcision as the initiation ritual into this new community and into a new way of life. And so baptism invites the hovering Holy Spirit to surround women's bodies and women's lives in the very same way that it surrounds men's bodies and men's lives. And in this new way of life, women receive the power and the gifts of the Spirit just like men do. This is a very different way of coming into the community than by the ritual of circumcision. So let us return to the somewhat silly question here as we near the end. What would happen if the character of Ron Swanson from Parks and Recreation were to receive baptism? Okay? Yes, we are going to baptize a fictional person this morning. Would it be okay, for example, if Ron continued to love eating meat? He orders this thing called the Meat Tornado in one of his favorite restaurants. Is it okay if Ron continues to love eating meat? If he continues to love hunting and fishing and hating skim milk and frozen yogurt, is that okay for baptized Ron Swanson? I think so. But I also think that Ron would slowly begin to understand that his particular version of manliness is only one version of an almost limitless number of ways that men can live out their masculinity as those who have been baptized into a new way of life. So I do think that Ron would slowly begin to welcome male friends who might be vegetarian or vegan, men who have hobbies other than hunting and fishing, maybe men who do yoga and men who have cats. I know this is asking a lot of Ron Swanson, but he gets time. It's a process, just like we get. And Ron might even learn the names of his coworkers. He might even inquire about how they're doing and what they're feeling. Baptized Ron Swanson might even welcome vulnerability. He might learn to care. And at some very advanced stage of his faith, he might even permit himself to shed a tear if he feels something akin to sadness or grief. So that's baptized Ron Swanson. For all of us, whether we're men or women, baptism marks the beginning of a new journey. We don't have to get everything right at the start. We just start. We just confess what we can. And then we join our lives with other people in a project of continual learning, continual maturation, continual repentance. The rules about what it means to be a man or a woman that we absorbed from the time we were children, those are the places where we start. It's good to have rules and guidelines when we're young, but in our baptisms, we begin to see a larger picture of the graceful possibilities for all human beings, and those graced possibilities have almost nothing to do with the biological sex of our bodies or our gender roles. And so, as we move through the stages of healing in our lives, we can move past and we can move through some of those cultural expectations and some of those family assumptions and some of those stereotypes that are, to be quite frank, too small for us. We can welcome a larger life, a life full of unique gifts and strengths and experiences that make us who we are. Welcoming these new arrays of power in our lives and living by them makes a new depth of life possible. No longer are we living in a way that's constricted and confined by other people's expectations of how certain genders should act and behave. Rather, we're receiving from the Holy Spirit the life to which God has called us, and it's a life of serving other people with our gifts. And what we begin to discover as we welcome our own wisdom and our own experience and our own variety of skills and strength is that other people's expectations, what other people want from us, would have been far too narrow a life for us. Our baptized lives are creative, not conformist. They draw on our strengths rather than catering to the expectations of others. And all of us, as baptized women and men, are called, in the language of Corinthians, to honor God with our bodies. But of course, we can't know what that looks like without going on pilgrimage with everybody else further and deeper into the mystery of God's grace. Amen.